in our chat room that Mirbailey set up, and that's immunizewisely with two Z's dot chatango.com. And you can check into the chat room, add comments and questions for our guests. I'll try to keep on it. And tonight I'm sitting in for Ingrid Castle. Happy birthday, Ingrid. She took the weekend off. Busy activist, herbalist, and director of vaccineliberation.org. And her website, humbleweed.net, she supports health and complete refusals of vaccines. I'm really honored to be sitting in for Ingrid. She says, I have great guests, and tonight I do have a great guest. Brian and I have explored multitudes of interviews that John Lukacs has made into our peripheral. We hadn't heard of him. I heard him on Fakeologist, and then in BitChute, you can find John Lukacs. It's L-U-K-A-C-H on the internet, because I don't think we're going to be able to cover everything that he has explored. I want to welcome John. Are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Wonderful. Let's just get going. For listeners that have never heard of you or your work, I'm really proud to be able to bring you in to talk about why, how, where. You have written two books, Curious and What Now, and you have about 500 articles on your blog, which is estateartistry.com/blog. And what will people find when they go there, and what is in your books?
One question I get a lot is, my website is a repurposed website. It's just a business that I used to run I stand for it anyway. And when COVID started, I began ranting on a tab that I set up there. And it's worked out pretty well for me because it's a landscaping business website. And nobody's looking really to, find anti-vax information or stuff on a landscaping website. So I don't know. It's pretty good cover. I haven't gotten messed with as much as some others. So the website is an archive of my research on this whole thing since March of 2020. And it goes on for tens of thousands of pages. I mean, I comment on all kinds of world news. Sometimes I'm just ranting. A lot of the progression that I've made in my understanding of this is chronologically laid out there.
John, excuse me. Could you talk up a little bit? Your sound is kind of low.
Okay. I can try to talk a little louder. Is that better?
That sounds great. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So the website is, the backstory on me. It's like, how did I get going? What did I decide to do along the way? What did I find out? And a lot of people were reading it. I couldn't believe how many visitors it got. Even when I don't publish anything, people are reading the back stuff. So I apologize if any of the links are dead on some of my articles because, we're all seeing a lot of censorship, but there's nothing I can really do about that. As far as the books, I was approached by somebody who helped people get started as a writer. Lonnie Ray is her name, and she's down in Knoxville, Tennessee, so shout out to Lonnie. She talked me into writing a book, but, there was a lot of back and forth about what to write about. Then I came across something that, was actually a piece of research. It was all about Charles Roche. So the first book called Curious is also available now from a private distributor called ANA Printing in Tampa, Florida, with its original title, which is COVID-19 Vaccines and Induced Anaphylaxis. The Curious title came as a result of being banned by Amazon and having to try to, trick their AI tools into, accepting a book that they didn't want to publish. That was, pretty much a 30-page medical thesis based on the work of Charles Roche, who is known as the father of anaphylaxis. He's the guy that discovered everything we know today about allergies and how the body responds to allergic reactions, things like that. So he does a lot of a lot of experimentation on animals, and determined some things about biology, which, you know, have always been true and have never changed. And it got banned because his conclusions pulled the rug out of vaccine theory, like really solidly. Like everything you know about, hear from people that are pro-vaccine, about why you take vaccines, all that cannot possibly be true. And we've known that for over 100 years. Charles Richer won the Nobel Prize for this work in 1913. The rest of the book is, you know, like 100 or so pages of evidence that I pulled out of various vaccine injury report data. And, you know, as research for this book, I read over 20,000 vaccine injury reports. At the time, it was the entire database. So,
yeah,
these things are categorized into buckets, and, you know, so I know what's in there. So the first book is, you know, refutation, basically, of all that vaccine horseshit. When the second book was an attempt at, it was kind of a partial failure on my part. I look at it as the foibles of books part, okay? I fell into the same trap that a lot of popular celebrity doctors you know about.
Oh, excuse me, John. John, uh-huh? your sound is kind of getting muffled and coming in and out, so it's really hard to hear. And we want to hear what you're saying. So is there any way that you can, maybe.
I don't know if I'm going to fix it. I'm on a cell phone here.
Can you turn his volume down? Well, I think he's on a phone.
I'm on a phone, yeah.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Thank you.
No, I'm on a headset.
Thank you, Frank.
Testing.
That's so much better.
Is it? Oh, great.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but please continue.
Okay, so the second book, got a lot of, a lot of people bought it. Both of them were bestsellers. But, I tell people all the time now, don't buy that book for the vaccine injury protocol. There is one in there, but as I was starting to explain, I fell into the same kind of knowledge trap that a lot of celebrity doctors are in and can't come out of, where, I was following what I thought was, a unique strategy for research. I noticed that none of these people were reading or citing or referencing the papers that were published by people that were involved in vaccine development. And I got into that really heavy, and to do so, I needed a whole team of PhD level people that kind of helped me decipher this jargon. It's not easy. I don't really believe anybody that says they go in and read medical papers if that's not their job. It's very difficult to understand a lot of this stuff and to pick apart the methodology and find out what's going on there. So I went ahead and did this to the best of my ability and came up with, a similar strategy that you're probably hearing, pretty often from America's Frontline Doctors or FLCCC or any of these Vaccine Summit people. It doesn't work. I got a chance to test it. And,
yep. How about that? All right, good. Okay. Okay. Okay, so we're correcting the sound here a little bit. So the protocol that I laid out in my book was based on a lot of rubbish research, and this was the lesson that I learned, that medical journals cannot really be relied upon as trustworthy. A lot of these people are just using their published papers and work as an excuse to feed at the COVID spigot, which is, just a big, funnel, a waterfall of money. And so this buys them access into it, and they get grant funding, and that's how they pay the bills. So there's a lot of garbage in there. I mean, so much that, you know, it's hard to find anything that has been published in the last 50 years that is, you know, truly credible. And you start to see this when you learn how to break down their methodology and see how they're obfuscating things and so forth. You know, it's just bunk. So, but what was in that second book was a whole lot of information about the various theories at the time. We were all operating a bit in the dark, scrambling for what's going on, answers to that question. And I was doing my best to bring into the picture the best, you know, thinkers that I could find. And later on, I was fortunate enough to meet a lot of these people whose work I quoted in there and actually get to talk to them and such. So that was all a benefit. It was a stepping stone writing this book. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but I do have a solution. All this effort and failure resulted in an actual solution that I had a chance to clinically test and that actually worked. I saved a young girl's life with it. And she recovered completely. This was a vaccine injury, a very severe one, terminal one. So it is possible. It can be done. And I know how to do it, and I can do it again. But
yeah,
I'm not getting a lot of attention for that reason. Yeah.
Right. Now, I did listen to an interview where you described Hannah and the courses of support that you had offered her. And this was over a period of, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 months? How long did you work with her?
Yeah, we started, I guess I met her in March of, 2022? And, you know, her mother gave her my information. She contacted me with this long letter that was the story of how she came to be vaccine poisoned. And the backstory there is basically that she had never had a vaccine of any kind in her life, nor did anybody in her family, due to a familial allergy to cow's milk, which is part of the vaccine formulation process for, you know, older types of vaccines. So she was the first one ever to do that. She, you know, had been warned by her mother, don't ever get a vaccine. But, you know, she wanted to go on vacation with her boyfriend and see Spain, and the visa required 2 Pfizer shots. And she just happened through, you know, sheer bad luck to get 2 of the most toxic lot numbers for Pfizer that were available in the European Union. And so I had my friend Albert Benavidez do a, you know, query on these 2 in particular, because he has all the Varis data. That's the Welcome the Eagle guy from BitChute. So Albert ran it through his Tableau program. We found over 950 incidences of death and permanent disability from one of the lot numbers, and I believe it was 150 something for the other one. And, you know, people know that this is just a tiny percentage of what, you know, is actually happening out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think I heard you say that some of the lot numbers had letters, and the earlier those letters are, the hotter they were potentially.
Yeah, well, Jessica Rose is a brilliant statistician that did the analysis that with Craig Partycooper. Later on, Craig came into the picture. And they were the ones that figured out that there were about 5% of the lots were, you know, like really hot lots, they called them, where they were producing death at 300 times more than the other average lot numbers. And they tracked these all over and figured out all kinds of things about it, like, you know, the various companies involved, because there was 3 or 4 of them that you know, were producing these vials, were doing so in a staggered method, that they were keeping their own pharmacovigilance data. It looked like an internal experiment being done with the collusion of these companies, and they could see other interesting details, like, you know, Pfizer wasn't necessarily poisoning a lot of people in Germany, but they're poisoning a lot of people over here. And the same was true about the companies. They like didn't practice their craft in their hometown, but they went around the world doing it, farther away the more they did. So,
and also the facility locations, because I did hear you say, like, the facility in Belgium, proximity, because there was a shelf life so closer
to
the facility where they were produced.
Yeah, and that was explained by this data. They said, like, what they did was, you know, picture a factory, and then concentric circles reaching out various kilometers of distance from the factory, and they saw that the closer you were to the point of production, the more likely you were to have severe reactions, adverse reactions. So that was the result of what I've always been saying is the stability issue with a lot of this stuff. So, you know, we can get into actually why that's the case, but just think of it like they're full of little boogers that break down and become less effective at whatever their pathogenic capability is over time. So the sooner you get one, the quicker you get one, the less handling involved, less shipping involved, the more potent it is. But you know, that's not the only measure of danger here. It's just one of them.
Sure. And I have also heard you mention that you consider this like a radioactive contagion and more radiological than a chemical reaction that's happening in the body.
There are radioactive isotopes of thulium in the vaccines. So, yeah, that's absolutely so. You know, you can put a Geiger counter on these things and it'll chatter away. So this kind of leads into this whole shedding idea. A lot of people have concerns about shedding, and it's all anecdotal, observational evidence and stories that, you know, I got sick around a vaccinated person, I'm not vaccinated, or something to that effect. Like the vaccinated people are somehow leaving some trail behind them or and on other people. And like most erroneous observational data that, you know, ends in a conclusion of a contagious pathogen, because there are none. I know it's a bold statement, but there are none. This is just, you know, what it looks like. But what these people are actually fostering in their body is a proliferation of synthetic nanoparticulate matter. Some of it results in clotting. There's lots of different kinds. But it's designed to turn a person into a receiver transmitter for digital signal. And, you know, a gross analogy would be they're walking cell towers, right? You can't stand in front of a cell tower dish and not get a pretty severe burn, right? So for a period of time, which kind of coincides with, you know, the period of time they said, you know, your vaccine was effective, that's the 120-day half-life of the thulium isotope. And so people that are newly vaccinated are irradiating the people around them, even though they don't know it. They're also getting sick because obviously radiation causes a lot of tissue damage, a lot of inflammation, and there's a whole thing about it. But, you know, what we can glean from this is sort of the essence of the lie. The most basic explanation, and the one that, you know, I can support with a lot of evidence, is that, you know, the COVID is a fictitious disease. What we're looking at is symptoms of radiation sickness, and everything that they attribute to COVID is identical with radiation sickness symptoms. So that's what it is. And I don't know how deep you want to get into that, but these people are basically dangerous for a little while, and then they're not. If they keep getting vaccinated, you know, to different degrees, there is something to it, but there is absolutely, I guarantee you, there's absolutely no biological contagion which is passing from person to person. They're not, you know, you're not going to get it if they kiss you, hug you, pee on you. It's a proximity thing. The closer you are to this and the more strong it is, the more damage you receive.
Yeah, because I listened to some of your information on Ricardo Delgado. Is that the neural interface and how things are networking in, well, maybe you could describe it better, but the neutrino observatory and leptons, and I just wrote a couple of notes as I was listening, but maybe you can describe that.
I don't know if I want to get into all that. First of all, it's not Ricardo Delgado. All that stuff comes from Andreas Giotti, who is a physics teacher in Italy that was also a targeted individual. Targeted individuals were kind of interesting stories to me, and I tried pretty hard to locate a couple of them and interview them. And I've never spoken directly with Andreas because I don't speak Italian, and you know, that's all he does. But I do have a research associate in Argentina that is bilingual, speaks fluent Italian, and you know, he would go back and forth with him and go over some of his work. And I did download all of his research, and he had some pretty far out fantastical concepts, but they, you know, they weren't bad. I just don't know, you know, they're not things that I can really verify. They're just, you know, kind of data points in the system. But he was postulating a structure to a communication system which would include all kinds of gear that we know exist and that had the capability of conducting or creating, I should say, a communications infrastructure in a terahertz frequency range. So, you know, this would operate on the level of the types of signal that could be sent and received from nanotech. So, I mean, it's the whole thing. It's hours of explanation, lots of physics. It's very cool. But but I don't know if it's true. What Delgado is talking about is a lot more understandable to most people, and it's probably provable without too much trouble. It's just, it's not my area to, you know, go out here and try to buy a lot of gear and analyze.
But
the idea that they're walking cell towers, you know, that they're bouncing things, this I can verify because, you know, I have the patent information on this infrastructure. It has names, but these people are sending and receiving packet data with 100% completion rate, which is just like, you know, a Wi-Fi node to another Wi-Fi node in the world.
That's in the vaccines. And that's what that, like the nano,
well,
the nano
toxicology. It's a capability of an array of nanosensory equipment that is constructed as a result of a person getting vaccinated with all the precursors that and the little machines and everything that put this stuff together. And I mean, people think of, like, you know, little Tonka trucks and stuff. It's not like that. These are chemical reactions that form mechanical usefulness. And so, you know, when you're watching it happen on the slide, like David Nixon does, it's pretty amazing to look at it. It does look like little Tonka trucks, but what you're looking at is you know, chemical assembly that is fairly sophisticated and uber tiny. But you know, people are you know, when you see the vaccine debris, like the clotting material and the masses people pull out of other people and they look at them, what you're seeing is, you know, it looks like hairballs and electronics wiring, but it's just masses of concentrically arranged nano tubules, carbon nanotubes, and this is the wiring, right? And it also provides a fractal antenna shape that, you know, is the receiver. But, you know, how this stuff all works is, you know, is complicated, but you're a radio. You're a radio, and you're talking to other, you know, people that, you know, are vaccinated, and whatever you're exchanging is, we figured out, all the inputs and outputs that are possible from a variety of different sensory arrays that can be constructed. So it's mostly biometric telemetry. You know, your heart rate, your body temperature, things like this. You know.
So individual. Well, my question would be, like, as everyone is an individual, how the remedies that you've come up with. And I would like to get into that and how that works on that level with the nano. I know we are coming up to a break, so beware. There'll be music first, and then we'll be taking a 4-minute break. So please continue.
Okay. So, you know, over the past 100 years, the entire medical community has been miseducated in worse and worse ways. There's an awful lot of things that are taken as assumptions or taken as facts that are really just assumptions that have never been proven. And they build upon this until you have a skyscraper instead of a castle based on sand. It's a skyscraper, right? So, you know, we're up in the penthouse now. A lot of doctors, you know, they mean well. A lot of them don't, but most of them mean well. And they just are doing what they know how to do. But what they know how to do is based on rubbish, I guess. You know, you have like all these different levels of structural organization in the body, okay? You know, there's the organism level, you know, that's everything coming together to form you. You have the organs in that system, so that's the organ system level. You have a tissue level where cells come together to form tissue. You have a cellular level where chemicals come together to form cells. You have a chemical level that they obsess on, which is not how you figure out how the body actually does things. But chemicals in biochemistry, organic chemistry, they come together to form cells, obviously. It's this chemical signaling, which, you know, is just a giant field of landmines in terms of what's true and what's not. But beneath all of this is an informational level, and this is electromagnetic communication of information. You know, your body operates on signaling at wavelengths that are just very, very minute and very fragile. And they're, you know, this is kind of a brute force attack, if you could think of, like the problems we have in this interview, right? There was noise, okay? And so you have to kind of make my voice very loud so that you can understand me, and the interchange happens, you know, in a discernible way that people can understand. Well, you know, if you put a rock band behind the two of us and we still try to have this interview, that's the effect of this electromagnetic tube. And they've internalized it, right? So they're creating that kind of interference, if you will. And in some ways that they're able, they can target this interference to a, you know, think of it like a dog whistle affecting a dog. You know, these are gross analogies, but you know, this is the easiest way to convey the idea to make analogies like this. Well, we're dealing with radiation and the wavelength spectrum. It's not so much that there is one bad wavelength, like a lot of people hone in on 5G, have a cursory understanding. It is not a particular frequency that's dangerous. It's the modulation between all the different ones, which warps the body.
Oh, sorry, John. We're going to a break right now. Be back in four minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. I am Jenna Chaputis interviewing John Lukacs. That's L-U-K-A-C-H. Of estateartistry.com /blog. And John, you are you are here. Excellent. Okay, so radiological effects are very similar, and one of our chatter was saying Tom Cohen believes that the symptoms can be created by electromagnetic fields. So do you want to get into like how you came to sourcing and finding enough information that like created this exquisite remedy that helped Hannah and is available for people out there that might be suffering?
Sure. Yeah. That's really the reason why I do these chats. I want to say something about Tom Cowan. I love Tom Cowan. He's like an example, probably the best example of the kind of thinking that people should be doing, especially if they are in the medical community. He's just simply shedding some light on these areas that are just very flimsy. You know, these facts that doctors rely on, base their decisions on. I am of the opinion that, and you know, people might take offense to this, part of this community, but if you have a licensed medical credential, it is a handicap because you've been indoctrinated into this type of thinking and have it browbeaten into you that it's so hard that you just can't think outside that box. So a lot of what I'm going to say is not going to jibe at all with what a lot of people will tell you about medicine and how the body operates and such. And I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody that, you know, I understand it at a godlike level, because I don't. I'm watching things happen, and I can't explain all of them, but they are incredible results. So if the best thing that, you know, I did was, you know, to blunder into a solution with the help of a few friends, then so be it. I'll accept that as a criticism. But you can't take away the result. The result was fabulous. And so however we got here, we did. So here's what happened with Hannah. Hannah's mom got her to get in touch with me, and we started talking, and I got her story, and it was a bad one. And, around this time, because earlier the last year, I got invited to sit in for conference calls with doctors, medical doctors for COVID ethics. So I'm on a lot of those calls, and it used to be kind of a really exclusive group. Albert Benavidez got me invited to it. Now it's open to anybody, so anybody can join in, but usually we'll have about 60 to 80 people on this conference call to be a guest, come in and present. And these are all the A-list players, characters that, you know, are trying to play a role in this crisis event, the solution to it, whatever. All kinds of people, but good people. And I get to, you know, have a direct chat with a lot of them and ask my questions. And sometimes I get, you know, offline conversations and get started. You know, Hannah had the benefit of a whole team, not just me. I had supervising physicians with various specialties in the background, and they were going over all her medical records and lab tests and anything that she could relay to me that she was having done. Unfortunately, she had access to pretty good medical care in both the public system and then the private hospital system in the UK because she was in Manchester. So this meant, you know, a steady flow of pretty much whatever I wanted, although doctors didn't always run the tests I would request. They would argue whether or not it was necessary. Sometimes they would take a long time to send results and whatnot. But, you know, the upshot is here, I wasn't doing this alone. All these people, upon looking at her state of affairs health-wise, were throwing their hands up. It's like, you know, I never shared this with Hannah when it was going on because she was suicidal the entire time. They thought she was going to die. They didn't think she'd live out the year. And so I started with my best guess, right? My book, right? Here's my protocol. Let's try that. But she really wasn't responding to it, and I was kind of gut-punched. I didn't know why. It just makes no sense to me, unless everything I'm basing it on is kind of wrong, which is what I later kind of found out. So I apologize to anybody that, you know, bought that book with that intention that they're going to heal themselves with it. It was just, you know, it was a mistake that a lot of people made. I just came out of it, though. I want you to know that. Around this time, I was fishing for answers, and a guy got in touch with me who nobody knows about. It's Emmanuel Stone. So Emmanuel is what you might call a naturopathic compound pharmacist. He's a very unique character. I won't get into everything. He's a very private person. He read my first book, and he thought that was, like, the coolest thing he ever read, and he got in touch with me, which is something he says he never does, but he wanted to talk to me, and we became, like, really good friends. I mean, this guy is brilliant. What he's been doing for the past decade or so is tinkering around with herbal substances, and he's different. I think the thing that separates him from everybody else I know who is an expert in this or that peddles this stuff is that, you know, you can buy a supplement with an expectation of a medical benefit that can be supported by certain studies. And all these people are experts in what every substance does, and they can make recommendations to you about what to take for this, that, and the other. But what Emmanuel does is he combines them and toys around with the ratios and gets secondary and tertiary effects, which have no, like, they're not qualities that are associated with any of the substances he's using. It's like the combination, how these things work together and what the body does with it. It's like combination fuel, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So he can give you something with a medicinal benefit, some substance that has a peculiar side effect that, you know, makes an upper level toxicity apparent where you can't take more than this or that'll happen. He can tune these things completely out and get many multiples of the same benefits out of the same substances just through these combinations. And I know this because he cured me of things that I had, and I didn't have any way of doing that. And so literally I was the guinea pig for a lot of this summer, trying all these things that he had, talking to him about what's going on with me. He cured my gout, for example. I tell that story. So it's just amazing. And so he wanted to get involved with this thing with Hannah, and I'm happy he did because I wouldn't have been able to do it without him. So he had a general health recipe that we started adapting. And you know, he didn't share with me all the details of why he picked this and how much of that. You know, he keeps a lot of that close to the vest. He doesn't like to explain it for a good reason because – the more you explain it, the more attention gets placed on you. And he would prefer it be a mystery so that everybody thinks it's horseshit. And then, you know, nobody looks at him like he's actually doing anything. But he likes to help the people that he can help. And up until we met, that was only people that happened to run into him. Okay, so that was a very small circle. Anyway, we started working on this thing, and I went over all my theories and stuff with him, everything I could share about Hannah. And he formulated something that was specific to her, and it was like, it's part of the name, the 213th version of this recipe. It has like 20 different substances in it, but they're all meticulously measured and chosen for what they do and how they interact together. And the net result was it restored her immune system. So the vaccines destroy immune function. They destroy that bacteria. You have none after you get one of these shots. And I think that, you know, the idea behind, you know, the people that, you know, say this is all big depopulation, I agree with them. But nobody's pointing a gun at anybody. What they're doing is they're weakening the people to such a degree that nature kicks in at some point and just does the dirty work. So that's why you see such a wide range of symptomologies and why everybody's chasing, the answer here, wherever they think it is, based on an idea which was given to them and which is constantly encouraged, that there is a simple paradigm of one cause and one solution. It is not that. It is so many multiple causes that there is no way any of these guys that have that mentality are ever going to be helpful. So what the capsules did for her is that he made for her was repair what was broken, what was damaged, what was, you know, dysfunctional. And, you know, I explain it to people this way, you know, the body is, and I truly believe this, I want it to be true. I've seen evidence that it's true. I can't prove it to you, but I think the body has a built-in mechanism for dealing with any invasion of that system by something that shouldn't be there, doing something it should be doing, or something it should be doing, but just something you don't want. And finding out exactly how, you know, what to feed it, what to put in the tank to enable the function that overcomes such toxic invasion is the trick, right? So with her body functioning normally, and we can measure this with blood tests and so forth, we saw a lot of numbers climbing like ridiculously that nobody could really explain why. Her white blood cell count, helper B cells or killer T cells, the counts that people factor, people do immunology factor into good immunological health, were doubling and tripling. And he even made the prediction that we would see this effect at about the 3-week mark. And right on schedule, it came in. But then what also happened was every 3 weeks, it did it again, like a clock. So her body was vastly upregulated. And then everything else in my solution just facilitates this process. So, you know, for people that want to know what I did, the specific article was in the middle of June on my blog site. It's called Reversing Vaccine Injuries. So, you know, it all centers around the effect that we produce with this herbal supplement mixture. But I also have like DMSO. What DMSO does is it opens up the plumbing, right? It encourages circulation. It, you know, I can get over the clotting issues with this. It's also a potent scavenger for free radicals. So it's removing junk and clearing the roads for the trash men. That, you know, it's the simple explanation. Ivermectin is still a part of the formula, but not for the reasons I used to think. I mean, I'm sure that some of those are valid. Things like, you know, when your body gets out of whack, there is a buildup, proliferation of several different parasites that are symbiotic with us normally, but they get out of whack in terms of their numbers and they cause problems. So, you know, we're not trying to sterilize the microbiome with ivermectin. We're just doing a simple course of it, you know, 4 or 5 days, 6 milligrams or so a day, and we're just cleaning up, you know, what mess has accumulated. So that's very important. But ivermectin has a lot of capabilities that doctors just don't even really acknowledge or recognize. One of them has to do with stealing iron away from the nanotech. Iron is a very important element in producing the piezoelectric effect that drives all that activity. And so, you know, the more you can sequester iron, the better. And iron should be in your tissues anyway. That's a whole long story. But ivermectin does that. So that's part of it. The rest of it is just, you know, recommendations like, you know, get the aluminum out of your system with silica-rich mineral water. Two brands that I know about that, you know, are uncontaminated with junk, according to some people that test for that, is Volvic and Spritzer. So, you know, Volvic's available on Amazon. Spritzer is a German company. You got to order it from the company. But people can get it. And just, you know, drink a case of that, and you'll just, it'll bind to the aluminum and chelate it out. Aluminum's very bad. The body has a very hard time getting rid of that. So these are the, you know, these are the things that I recommend. So we did this with Hannah, and in the span of time of 3 months, we completely reversed her condition. Like, she's fine now.
That's incredible. I did hear that the DMSO was a liberal use, both topically, internal, and with enema, or like a colonic, or that's
ideally, much? Like, there's a book out there people can get by Archie Scott. It's based on the case study work. There are all the case studies of Dr. Stanley Jacob, who is the father of DMSO, if you will. He's much better than Amanda Ballmer and others. And this is how you learn how to use DMSO. So it's called the DMSO Handbook for Doctors. You can learn all about DMSO there and everything that it does. And there are administration methods for IV use. That's what I wanted for Hannah. I wanted to do something easy because she's a young girl and nobody wants to do what we had to do, which was give her enemas and stuff, right? You know, a nurse practitioner can set up an IV, and I think it should be like 15% max for DMSO and sterile water. And you just sit on that IV and you mainline it, and it does all that it does at the maximum level that you got to flood the body, right? But something that very closely approximates the effectiveness of an IV drip, which we couldn't get because we couldn't get a nurse practitioner, couldn't find one that would do this. So the next best thing is you make a 20% DMSO solution, put it in an enema bag, and just use it that way. So we had her do that 3 consecutive times on day one, and all the cognitive issues, and believe me, she had a lot of them, all the brain fog, all the inability to think or focus or, you know, all that stuff disappeared right away, like first day, which I was just stunned by. I was like, okay, this is staying in, right? That was just, I wasn't even expecting to be back. But we had her do it 3 times because DMSO is also a muscle relaxer, so trying to hold a solution rapidly is pretty difficult. Like, I'd be impressed with anybody who could do it for 5 minutes. She was able to do it for a couple minutes, so we did it 3 times. And it's very messy. You guys did the tub, and we were talking about this. Do I really want to do this? She was like, yeah, come on, do it. So she never did it again. I was recommending that she do it weekly, but she didn't like the process, so she just did it that one time. But apparently it didn't matter. Apparently it did a great job. So maybe that's all you need to do. I don't know. I figure err on the side of caution, right? Do what you need to.
Right. That's so great to hear. I love hearing it. I hear the music. We're up. We're up for another break. Sit back, and we will continue our conversation.
Okay.
from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If you have the ability, it's on a shoestring. If you can donate, please do. And contributions like John coming on and sharing his information is worth a lot. And I really appreciate you coming on, John. I think that your superpower is about networking, because you were able to, at the right time, right place, find the right people and come up with this formula. I think it's really fantastic.
Found me. I can't say enough thank yous to all the people that have been around. Some of them actually got a little mad at me and don't talk to me anymore because, you know, I didn't use their whole theory. I just used a piece of it. And I think this is maybe the real superpower. Everybody smart out there, whether they know it or not, they have a nugget that's valuable. But I think they all have, because, you know, they spent 40 years or whatever in a specialty area or field, they have a little tunnel vision. And, you know, finding the solution is a multidisciplinary task. You have to have a working competency in like a dozen different areas to be able to understand enough about what a guy is an expert in to evaluate something that he says and pick out of it building blocks that when put together, create an entirely different picture. And I think that's what we need to do here. You know, nobody's going to give you it because he's a fantastic cardiologist or because he's a brilliant, you know, physicist or immunologist or any of that. I found that you know, these people, they have these, you know, a theory of their own that, you know, exists within the world that they're experts in, but it's not correct and it doesn't work. And one of the things that you see here is all these people like promoting these solutions. Where are the patients they fixed? I can't find any, you know. So I would go up against anybody, and I don't care who they are, and say, show me, you know, your COVID cure, your vaccine injury solution, and produce a patient, produce a case study. Let me see who you helped with this. They don't have anybody like that. I think that's kind of an ethical problem that they have, you know, like hearing themselves talk. Maybe they believe something, but they're not practicing this. I can't find anybody with a, you know, that's why I did what I did. As far as I know, I'm the only person that could produce that. I want to give out a link here because people are going to want to know where you get the capsules. Emmanuel set up a site. I found a guy that was willing to make a site for him for free. The site is scalevitamins.com. And I also want to say that there is a thing there where it won't let you order if you're outside the country, but that's changing. If somebody's outside the country and the site won't let them place an order because it's about a shipping calculator we have to put in there, just email me and I'll handle it. I'll get it to you.
Okay, we are up to the top of the hour break. We will be back in just a few.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.